Father in heaven, it's a blessed Resurrection Sunday. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for your word going forth today. And Father, I thank you also, for not only for New Day, Father, but we lift up Pastor Mark Greenhouse at the Cross Ministries, Lord God, and their ministry this morning in Riverside. We pray, Heavenly Father, for Pastor Rachel in Fullerton and King's House of Worship. We lift up Pastor Bowman, Heavenly Father, there in Chino, dear Lord God, and Christ the Cornerstone in their worship this morning. We lift up Jesus Transformed, Father God, there in the Philippines. They've already had their service, dear Lord God. They're 15 hours ahead of us. And Father, we lift up Hope of Christ, Heavenly Father. They've already had their service today, too, in South Africa. And Lord, we lift up New Day Brazil, Heavenly Father, who will be starting in a few hours with their service. Father, we pray for all the churches in the New Day Network. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all those souls that you've entrusted to us. And Father, we thank you that your word will not return unto you void. It shall accomplish that which you please, and it will prosper where you're sending it. And today you're sending your hearts into the, you're sending your word into the hearts of the believers. And I thank you, Heavenly Father, we will receive your engrafted word with meekness. We will bring forth fruit, and that fruit shall remain, and you will be glorified. Let all who agree with that prayer say, amen, amen, amen. I've had a blessed week talking to all of the pastors that Jack and I oversee, and everyone was excited about today, Resurrection Sunday. And in fact, right before I left the house, Pastor Mark and I was going back and forth, and it's just such a blessed thing all over the world. I also want to make a special note that in Sri Lanka, that's a country at the southern tip of India, over 200 people were killed a few hours ago, and in bombings, an explosion, that churches were bombed on this Resurrection Sunday morning. There are a lot of places in the world where they just can't do what we're doing right now. And so we just got to be grateful and thankful. And we got to lift our brothers up, brothers that don't look like us, or their skin tone is different from us, their language is different from ours, but it's the same Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. 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 Well, today, the sermon title is The Empty Tomb. Say empty tomb. Empty tomb. The picture you can see there is there in Israel, and quite a number of us that were there just week before last. We had a blessed time. We had a chance to visit that empty tomb. Say empty.
Empty.
Next picture, please. And that's a photo of us gathered there. You can see me there. We'll be on your left, and there's my wife, and CJ is there, and I believe that's Ryan. And also, too, you can see Miss Marie and some others. I think that's Tanya, the tall one right there. I see Yvonne with the white cap on. Amen. And so we had a blessed time at the empty tomb. That is so crucial. So today is going to be a class session, amen. So if you got a pen and take your Bibles out, your iPhones, your iPads, whatever you got, and I want to explain some things to you guys today, amen. I want you to walk home. I want you to go home. I want you to go home with a deeper understanding of the significance of that empty tomb. I know this time of year, you know, about a month ago, all of a sudden in Walmart and Target, you started seeing the Easter baskets, and the kids started asking for candy. And I know some of my pastor friends, they're having egg extravaganza today where there's the Easter egg hunts. And I've been invited to some things, some barbecues and all that. And it's great. But we have to remember, the main thing is the empty tomb. Okay? All right, so our scriptural text is 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 53 through 55. Now, 1 Corinthians, this is a letter that was written to the church in Corinth about 25 years or so after Jesus died, okay? And it was written from Paul to the startup church. And these people, they were new to the Christian faith, so they had a lot of questions, okay? They had a lot of questions. Verse 53. And Paul says this, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. My wife was teasing me this morning. Hey, you guys like my suit? And so, you know, this week I was going to the suit store, the men's store, and putting suit trying some suits on. And she was looking at me because a little bit more around the waist than it was when she first met me. And she was like, you know, you say this is not a criticism, but you're starting to look like your daddy. But I thought of verse 53, I'm going to have a transformed body. Bless God, they will never die. Okay. And it says here, our mortal bodies must be transformed into immortal bodies. Now, this is going to take place, and it has a lot to do with the empty tomb. I need you to understand. Verse 54, then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, say never die.
Never
And for some of you, that's a newsflash right now. Some of you think, I'm going to heaven, I'm going to be like an angel, I'm going to just float on some clouds all day with some wings and play a harp. Not happening. Okay. This scripture will be fulfilled. Watch this. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? A few years ago, my aunt Gwen, my dad's sister, died. She was the youngest, and she was more like a sister to me than an aunt, because when I was born, my dad's mom and dad died early, so he had his six brothers and sisters he had to take care of. At age 19, he had the whole family. Married my mom, and so she inherited a crew. I mean, bless God. My mom is special. There's a special place in heaven for my mama, okay? Good Lord. She takes on all those kids, but then I was born, of course, and I thought they were like my brothers and sisters. They weren't that much older than me. So my aunt Gwen, back in 2004, got some type of cancer, and she had these tumors all in her lungs, and she died. To this day, that's the death that has hurt me the most. Now, I lost my grandfather, lost my father, but my aunt Gwen, she was like my sister. We used to watch Godzilla together. She's the one introduced me to Dracula and lime sherbet, and I just remember the good times that we had, okay? And so it really hurt me. And so I remember being there at a funeral in Mobile, Alabama, and I was tugging because I knew this passage, but that person that was so dear to me was gone, wasn't going to be with anymore. But because I understood this, I was able to just be okay, knowing that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. I knew one day I'm going to see her again. And this is just temporary. So it's just a transition. I'm just missing her emotionally. And I hope a lot of you guys can really embrace that and fully understand. Now, here's the thing about death and why we die. Well, let me tell you this first. So I'm in 1976, what would I be, 14 years old, and I love skateboarding, okay, in the swimming pools and all that. I love that. And so being from Compton, we didn't have much money, and you know, whatever, you guys know the story. So I finally saved $20, and there was a kid down in Long Beach that was going to sell me a board. So I jumped on an 810 bus on Long Beach Boulevard, left Compton, went through North Long Beach. I got on the bus, and that was a guy doing that three-card Monty. And I didn't know what it was, but I'm just sitting there watching him and watching people bet, some people losing money. But every time I guessed the right card, just sitting there. Like, okay, I got this. I looked at the money, and I said, I got $20, and I figured it out. I threw my 20 in, boom, 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 boom. And I said, that card, wrong card. Sat down in my seat, riding, reached up, ding, ding. You know, that means next stop. Got off the bus. I walk across the street, wait for the next bus to take me back home. Get back home, and my daddy says, where's your skateboard? And I told him what happened. And I said, I don't know how I missed that. He said, were there people that were guessing right and was guessing wrong and all that? Yeah, and I kept talking about the guy that was doing the cards. He says, Tony, they were all in on it together. That's what they dress, ride up and down the bus all day. I didn't know that. I got hoodwinked. I got tricked. I don't know what you call it. I got played. And he got what was dear to me. Genesis tells a story. And God told Adam, look, you can eat of every tree in the garden except there's this one tree. Don't eat it. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, what happened was, you guys all know the story, they disobeyed, and they ate of the tree. And God said, if you eat of the tree, you're going to die. Now, we died in more ways than one, but I'm talking about physical death, your physical death. The consequences, too, is that man's lifespan just began to decrease significantly. Well, we got stories of people living in 800-900 years prior to, you know, the flood. Also, too, disease and illness set in. You know, that was this big canopy, and I call it a canopy, that's my word, okay, that covered the earth. And so the ultraviolet rays and other things that are damaging us now, it wasn't getting to the earth. Literally, all hell broke loose. The enemy had gotten in, and he had tricked Adam. And so Jesus, when he was on the earth, you know, thousands of years later, he said he saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. What happened was, you know, Satan tried to rebel, and God cast him out. Now, fast forward to so you fully understand what transpired. Jesus, when he came to earth, of course he was born, when he began to start his ministry, it says the Spirit led him into the wilderness. And after Jesus had fasted for 40 days it says that the enemy came to him to tempt him. Now, one of the temptations was, bow down and worship me. The devil said, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. Well, see, those kingdoms was his to give, because Adam had given up what God had given Adam, had given over to the enemy. Just like I gave him my $20 to that fool on, I'm sorry, I transgressed. So I'm over it, I'm better. Okay. But Satan owned all the kingdoms. Another time, too, of course, Jesus resisted. Peter, Jesus tells Peter, he says, I got to go to the cross, tells all of them. And Peter's like, you can't do that, you can't do that, you can't do that. And it physically grabbed Jesus and turned Jesus around. Jesus actually, if you read it and read the whole stories in all the Gospels, and Jesus turned his back to Peter and said, get thee behind me, Satan. So Satan was even trying to influence Peter at that point. And so later on, you know that Jesus was with the Pharisees, the religious leaders at that time, and they couldn't believe Jesus was who he said he was. And even though they knew the Old Testament, they still had some shortcomings. And Jesus actually said, you're being influenced by your father, the devil. So my point that I'm bringing to you is that Satan has really just infiltrated mankind. So much so that John 13 says that he, and I love this part too, it says that Satan put the thought into Judas's heart to betray Jesus. Then you keep reading, it says, then Satan entered him. And see, this is one of the reasons I don't play with the devil. Some of y'all like to play with him, like, okay, keep playing, keep playing. You think you're okay now. And that's what happened with Judas. He put the thought. So you get some thoughts, you can manage your thoughts. You can play with it a little bit. Before you know it, after a while, he entered him. Before you know it, your whole household is going to hell. Everything's out of order. You can't figure out why my kids behaving this way and all that, because you opened the door. But that's another message, amen? But going back to the empty tomb, Jesus came to take back what the devil has stolen. That's why he was made manifest, to destroy the works of the enemy. Now, here's the thing, too, so you can be clear on this. Jesus shed blood, got rid of all our sins. Make sense? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Okay? Without the remission of blood, there is no remission of sin. You need blood. That's why there were animal sacrifices. Okay? Because man sinned. Remember Adam and Eve sinned? And they were hiding themselves because they were naked and ashamed. In fact, first Sunday in May, I'm really dealing with shame off me. People always saying, shame on you, shame on you. No, shame off me. No, so that's first Sunday in May, amen. So anyway, let me get to this. Let's jump into this, okay? So blood is shed, but Jesus had to die also. Because see, the thing is, now man will live forever in his sin. So turn please to Luke chapter 24 so that we can really understand this, amen. And this takes place after the crucifixion. Jesus was hung on a cross. He was nailed to a cross. And so you guys are hung up on a tree and a cross and all that. But, you know, and I know you guys that are like, really? And I see this a lot from the Hebrew Israelites. And those are black people who believe that they're the true Jews, you know. And see, it says he's hung up on a tree. I'm going to deal with that one day. I'm going to really show y'all. Okay, anyway, it was a cross, okay? Bless God. You have to understand culture in the Old Testament to fully appreciate that. But Luke chapter 24, we're going to read verses 1 through 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Pastor Todd did a phenomenal job yesterday of ministering to the men at the Men's Fellowship. And he mentioned that he likes the New Living Translation. It's easy to read. It's written on a sixth grade level, okay? And not poking fun at people, but it's just easy to digest, amen? So verse 1, but very early on Sunday morning, say Sunday morning. That's why we're here on Sunday morning, okay? Because that's when Jesus rose. But very early on Sunday morning, the women went to the tomb taking the spices they had prepared. They found that the stone had been rolled away from the entrance. Verse 3, so they went in, but they didn't find the body of the Lord Jesus. They didn't find his body. Now, when we were there in Israel, his body wasn't there then. Now, there are a lot of other religious leaders, different religions in the world. You can go to their tombs and their bodies are still there. Verse 4, as they stood there puzzled, now this is where it gets funny, because Jesus told them he was going to rise again. That's why Jesus has told a lot of you guys things and you still kind of confused about some stuff. And see, when you get a prophetic word, sometimes you just have to stand no matter what it looks like. Amen. Brian Anthony, stand up, please. Stand up. Amen. 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 For you guys, the news similar. What is that all about? A few weeks ago, twice his heart stopped. Twice. He was in a hospital, and they had to bring him back. But we stood. And after having done all, you stand. Verse 4, as they stood there puzzled, two men suddenly appeared to them, clothed in dazzling robes. Those angels, okay? Verse 5, the women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. Then a man asked, why are you looking among the dead for someone who is alive? I read this again the other day. I put together a whole sermon just based on verse 5. Why do so many of you guys go looking for something living in dead places? I don't know when I'm going to preach that one. Probably sometime next year, but I can't wait. Verse 6, he isn't here. He is risen from the dead. Watch this. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. See, sometimes you forget what the Lord has told you. One of the things that I do, when I get a prophetic word, and bless God, I keep my phone handy. Somebody begins to speak to me, I put it on record. I will even go and type out, transcribe what they said to me, and I go back over and go back over. And you say, well, Pastor, that's strange. No, it's not, because Paul told Timothy, look, you engage warfare. You live your life. You do your ministry based on a prophetic word spoken over you. And so I know what the Lord has said. So when what the Lord has said does not line up with my situation, I don't default to my situation. I default to what the word of God has said, and that gives me the faith to press on through whatever the situation is. So the angel says, remember what he told you. And some of you guys got to go back to, what did God say to you about your situation? What you say that God said this is your husband, then why all of a sudden you trying to divorce him? Verse 7, that the Son of Man must be betrayed, this is what he told him, that the Son of Man, that's Jesus, must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified. Watch this, and, say and, that he would rise again. Jesus had just shown him that with Lazarus. Jesus gets word, Lazarus, the one you love, is sick. And Jesus didn't move. Lazarus dies, and Jesus shows up. His sister's going like, dude, what are you tripping? If you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Now, just a little while later, where Jesus raises from the dead, and everybody comes to see what's going on, and Jesus, it was really just a precursor of what he was about to do. Sometimes God is setting you up for what he's about to do. And sometimes I look at difficult situations, even the one I was going through with my son, Brian. Oh, we had a good talk when he first went in. It's like, okay, dude, okay, Ebony had to leave. His mom had to leave. I had to have a talk with my son. What is in your life that could have opened a door for an enemy? And as we went through it, there was nothing. Okay, then God is going to use this for his glory. Verse 8 says, then they remembered that he had said this. Oh, yeah, he told us he was. But see, sometimes you get just overcome with emotion. That's why you got to learn to manage your emotions. You get so mad and get so angry when things are not going your way. You say stuff, you curse people out, you run out there and start cheating and sleeping with any and everything that has a... Oh, kids in here. Okay, so verse 9. So they rushed back from the tomb to tell his 11 disciples and everyone else what had happened. Verse 10, it was Mary Magdalene. That's the one that had 7 demons cast out of her, okay? It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and several other women who told the apostles what had happened. But the story sounded like nonsense to the men, so they didn't believe it. Now, this encourages me. Ministers, elders, and pastors of New Day, this helps me. You know how sometimes I tell y'all stuff, are we going to do this, and y'all forget? Why Pastor Tony still love us, still support us? If the ones that walk with Jesus trip, I know y'all gonna trip too. Amen. It's gonna happen. Have you ever noticed y'all ain't offended me? Which of you can say Pastor Tony's been mad at me? Terry, you want to? Have you? Can you? Have I been mad at you? How many times have you canceled our appointments? But you got to look at it here. And you can't be letting people move you. You can't be letting people offend you and disappoint you. Verse 12. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. And remember, he had denied Christ. So he got his own issues he's dealing with. Jesus, I never deny you. I'll even die for you. Jesus is like, boy, You're so weak. Let me tell you what's going to go down with you. And a lot of times we think we're stronger and more than we are. That's why I laugh at people that tell me, oh, as a pastor, you ought to. You ain't pastor nothing. You having trouble running to three people in your family. How are you going to tell me how to run churches? I ain't mad at you, but I get it. I get it. You don't know. And a lot of times people don't know what you think. And God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. You know, I like watching the YouTube fellas, you know, because I like boxing. You know, me and Big Ron, sometimes we go back with the boxing, right? I love boxers coming all cocky. Yeah, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. 3 seconds in the fight. People be talking that talk. 12. However, Peter jumped up and ran to the tomb to look. Stooping, he peered in and saw that the empty linen, he saw the empty linen wrappings. Then he went home again, wondering what had happened. He's trying to figure, first I denied him, you know, okay, now, and then he's not here. What is going on? Jesus spent 3.5 years with Peter, and Peter still didn't get it. So this helps me, now that helps me. If Peter didn't get it, what are some of the things I'm not getting? What are some things I don't understand? And see, some, and this helps me. This goes back to humility. That's why I always tell my leaders, ask questions. Because many times you're going, I got to, oh, this is how it ought to be. Everybody ought to be like me. No, they should not. Because newsflash, most people don't even like you. No, they don't. They ain't going to tell you, but they don't. You guys went to Israel. Remember our first tour guide? Remember he wasn't there the second day? We had to come to Jesus' meeting. And I let him know, I give me your 20 closest friends, and I bet you 19 of them don't really like you. After a while, he came around, okay, you're right. Maybe you need to coach me. Yeah, $200 an hour, buddy. But anyway. No, I told him for real. I told him, okay. But here we go. Jesus spent 3.5 years with Peter, and he still didn't get it. So I asked myself, what is it I'm not getting? And often it's my emotions and my life preferences that hinder me from hearing God and moving and walking in purpose. It really is, because I feel something. What's the phrase? Feel some kind of way. You need to feel a Christian kind of way, a kingdom kind of way. Stop all this worldly kind of way. It's not working. And sometimes when something ends, I'm looking for the new thing that's about to begin. Jackie asked me, she saw something, she gets some emails from pastor stuff, and she says something about, are you watching the door? And it was an article for pastor's wives, I don't know, something. She said, baby, do you be watching the door? I said, what do you mean? What does watching the door mean? About the people leaving. I'm like, no, I would look at the people that's coming. You got to go. Something's in, like Jesus' death here, something else was going to begin. And we have to begin to look at that. John 10:10 says Jesus came that we might have life. Not just life more. And he died so I could live eternally. Now, the thing about that Zoe life, in fact, the church Jack and I came from is called Zoe. There are Zoe churches. What's my title? Bishop of International Missions. August 3rd, we go through the consecration, and it's for the Zoe Association International, Zoe Churches, life, and life more abundantly. Zoe actually means the God kind of life. What we fail to understand, it, a little bit of the life here on this earth is like this, but your eternal life is like this, and that's what we need to focus on. I'm going to focus on where I'm going to spend time the most. When I stop by the gas station, get some gas, go in, get a soda or some chips or I don't know, something or whatever. I don't spend time in there telling them how to redecorate their place and what to really do. I don't spend that much time there. The owner of the mobile station right here off of Kahoko and a 15, his name is Ahmed. He's Egyptian, good friend of mine. Saw him at the bank the other day, and we talk all the time. I said, how's business? It's slow because of the whole thing. We're talking. But I don't go because I'm only with there with Ahmed for a minute. I'm in my house for a long time. So I decide to focus on where I'm going to spend the most time. I'm only on this planet for a little bit of time. I'm not going to let nobody here in this congregation, nobody in my family get to me because I'm only here temporarily. And it ain't going to be long before I'm going out of here. So I'm going to do things so I can be set up over there. Does that make sense? Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We're going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 19 through 22 is where we're going. Now, Paul, again, this letter he's writing to the church in Corinth. And verse 19, he says this. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, let that settle in. This life? Pastor Tony, you're the most transparent pastor we've met. I've heard that a gazillion times. I ain't never heard a minister, I mean, I go to other places, and nobody just, they just, you just, because I don't care. My hope is not for this life. I pulled up with a bunch of pastors, a bunch of them. Everybody got a Beamer or a Benz, and here I pull up in my little Acura TL. Got out my little car just as happy. And if some of you feel led by the Spirit of God to buy me a big BMW, I receive it in the name of Jesus. Don't get your feelings hurt. Come and sell it and buy me a Ferrari. But I want you to see this verse is so powerful. If your hope in Christ is only for this life, I need a man. I need a baby. I need a house. That's all good. He said, be fruitful and multiply. There's nothing wrong with wanting to be married and have children. Awesome. But don't get stuck there. Because then that's when you be setting yourself up for disappointment. It's not going like I thought. I've been going. I had a lady, I never forget this lady, started going to our church for 1 month and started tithing from Jump Street. Tithing. 4 weeks in, maybe 5 weeks in, she sees me outside of church. She says, I've been giving 10% to this church for 5 weeks. When am I going to get the windows of heaven blessing? I ain't lying. That's a true story. And if our hope in Christ is only for this life, we are more to be pitied than anyone in the world. There's nothing wrong. When Jack and I go on these airplanes, we get up to the counter checking in. You know what we always say? Anything in first class? Yeah, an extra $1,500. No, anything for free in first class. Bible says you have not because you ask not. I'm going to ask. Verse 20, though, going back to the empty tomb. Okay, here we go. But in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. He is the first of a great harvest of all who have died. I need you to see 21. So you see, just as death came into the world through a man, Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, Jesus. 22, just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life. I want the new life. The empty tomb represents the new life. The new life. He came that I may live. Go back to the top of your handout again. I'm going to close with this. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 53 to 55. The empty tomb. For our dying bodies, praise team, can you come forth, please? Verse 53, for our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. Say never die. Never die. So next week, I'm teaching a lesson, next Sunday, and we're going to really look at life in heaven. Not going to be little angels, little cute rosy cheeks, fluttering around with some wings, with a harp. That's not how it's going to go down. You're going to have a purpose and you're going to have a position. And what happens in heaven is going to be based on the decisions you make here. You know, people are worried about, they got cameras everywhere. I don't care about a camera. You can have cameras all day long. I've just made a decision. I'm going to live righteous and holy. Amen. Well, you Pastor Tony, you should. Yeah, whatever. I made that decision before I became Pastor Tony. We've only been doing this 9 years. Just make a decision. Because ultimately, you're going to pay a price. My daughter-in-law always says, she teases me. She says, you never do a message, but I'll bring it up one of your sons. She's right. So, Lavelle, he was younger. That boy just wouldn't behave. He just wouldn't. And I remember once he had a chance to go to space camp. And we said, son, if you don't you don't do right in school and all that, we're not going to let you go. I think he lasted like 3 days and he messed up again. And I held true to my word. He didn't go to space camp. And some of you guys are going to miss out on space camp, the real space camp, because you're choosing sin. You're choosing to have someone else be the Lord in your life. You're making that choice. Our dying bodies must be transformed into bodies that will never die. You're saved, but your position in heaven is going to be based on the decisions you make here. You fine sisters out there? I know you're fine. You're fine as I don't know what. But I'm going home every day and every night for the rest of my life. I'm going home. Church is going to, I know the words we got. The church is going to grow. We got a second service. Probably next year we're going to need a third service. Everybody's parking on the grass. That's going to be our new sanctuary one day. But as church get big and all of a sudden we start having all the money come in, you ain't got to worry about me. I'm focused on heaven. Heaven. Oh, he's such a good boy. No, just made a decision. I encourage you to make it also. So he got out of that tomb so that I could live forever and so that you could live forever. Amen. Bless God. Amen.
Jesus at the center of it all. Jesus at the center of it all.